Two River Theater is kicking off its series of benefit play readings with Your Blues Ain't Sweet Like Mine. Coming up Sunday, July 26th at 7 p.m., the show originally premiered at Two River Theater back in 2015. This reading performance will feature an updated script by Tony Award winner Ruben Santiago Hudson, the playwright and the director. The reading will feature original cast members, including the incredible Brandon J. Durden. And Ruben Santiago Hudson and Brandon J. Durden join me today to talk about this explosive and hopeful examination of America's racial divide. Great to see you both, gentlemen.
Good to be here.
The audiences have been wowed by both of you through the years in Red Bank, New Jersey, the home of Two River Theater. And Ruben, you've said you woke up one day and said you want to write a play where everyone could just say what they felt on a specific day of their lives, a truth play, you called it. An Upper West Side dinner party invitation brings an unlikely group together. And give us the synopsis of this incredible play, Ruben.
Well, there's a couple of plot twists and turns and things that are kind of surprises, but the foundation of it is about human beings coming together. And even though they're all good people, they all have subconscious feelings or conscious feelings that if they revealed them would be upsetting to others in the room, because everybody's realities seem to be different. How everybody's mentality has been formed and shaped by society and by America has warped certain thoughts, particularly with white Americans, because they have been informed and black Americans have not been informed as much of their lineage, their history, their contributions. So this particular day, Zeke, that Brandon plays, decides he's going to reveal exactly what he knows, which is a heck of a lot, to a world that doesn't know who we are as people. And he starts really speaking his truth, in which initiates the truth from other people that we might not agree with or agree with. And so that conflict is evident from the beginning on in. But it is cloaked in love. It is cloaked in humanity. It is cloaked in poetry. And I think it'll be quite entertaining and valuable for people to tune into.
Now, for those who didn't see it, Your Blues Ain't Sweet Like Mine may be more relevant now than it's ever been with everything that's been happening in our world. Can you talk about this powerful play as far as an updated script? I know you've been working on that.
Well, as the world turns and the world continues to evolve, I continue to evolve as a writer, as an actor, as an entertainer, as an activist, as a father, you know, and a husband, you know. So as I see more clarity, I like to expose that clarity in my writing and in my performing. And I thought that I could refine things, make them clearer, make people's intentions clearer. So I thought, you know, when John asked me to revisit it, he asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, I want to really take a look at it again and find out what is not clear to me as an audience member and how I can make it better. So one of the big things that helps me make it better is having the cast I had. They elevate my words into something that I don't even imagine is capable until they take it and own it. And so I wanted them. The first thing I wanted was to invite them back into the room. And unfortunately, Charles Weldon had passed on. But fortunately, Glenn Turman, the Emmy Award-winning and extraordinary Glenn Turman, came in to join the cast. So it gave me a chance as a better writer and as a more evolved human being to make my writing reflect that.
Yeah, it is a powerful cast. And of course, Brandon J. Durden is one of those. Zeke, and, you know, a favorite as not only an actor but director at Two River Theater. Brandon, what touched you most about Your Blues Ain't Sweet Like Mine?
The truth of it. Just, you know, I was going back and revisiting a script by James Baldwin, Blues for Mr. Charlie. You know, another title with blues in it. And in the foreword of Blues for Mr. Charlie, James Baldwin wrote how Elia Kazan had invited him to write a play for the theater. This is back in the 50s, mid-50s, and James Baldwin didn't want to do that. He wasn't interested in participating in the theater because Baldwin felt like the theater wasn't a place that was telling the truth. And he didn't see the significance. As a matter of fact, he just didn't see that theater was daring enough at the time or ready to hear the whole truth. And so he avoided writing this play for a long time until he felt like he had to. And often, and I look at this script of Your Blues Ain't Sweet Like Mine, I often wonder what Mr. Baldwin would have thought about this script, maybe had this script been done in the 50s, he wouldn't have felt that way. He would have felt that theater had the courage to tell the truth and to speak the truth and to really more accurately hold that mirror up, as Shakespeare puts it, to humanity. And I think that's what Ruben, and that's what I mean, whenever Ruben calls, if I can, I do my absolute best to be there for him, because I know I'm going to be a better artist, a better person from the experience. It's no exception with being a part of this production. It's hard. It's some hard truths that we have to face, but like Ruben said, it's cloaked in love. And I think we're all better for being on the ride, whether you're in it or whether you're watching it.
As compared to when you originally did the show, and now this reading coming up on Sunday the 26th, what are you thinking about now after everything that has happened? How has that changed your approach to this play?
I think... I can't say that it's changed my approach to the play. I think my approach to the play is consistent with the way we approach it then. I mean, I know I have a lot more information and self-knowledge. So in terms of an artist, I think this go-around I was able to find more nuance just as, you know, because time will do that. But in terms, I mean, the play is what the play was then in terms of what Ruben was aiming for. I mean, like I said, Ruben was looking for clarity of it, but the essence of it, the DNA of it, is unchanged. And it's what I look at it now is hopefully if the audiences, they changed to where they can hear and they're more susceptible to really receiving what Brother Ruben is offering to us. And because it's a real opportunity, this play is an opportunity to be for self-discovery. Not just on personal self, but self-discovery as a nation, as a people, who have not dealt with the trauma of America's past.
Ruben, you had mentioned in the past about John Diaz being the reason that it came to Two River Theater. A lot of people told you no at that time. How did that anger you? And do you think they would be a lot more if, you know, over the past several years, would they be saying yes now? Would everybody be saying yes to this play?
No, they're still saying no. I'm inviting a lot of artistic directors to listen to this play. People don't want to have the hard conversations. You know, first of all, you know, racism. People hate that word. Why you throw racism? Why you throw racism? Racism is part of the fabric of this country. It's entwined into this place called America. It's built on it. This country would never exist without racism. Because when I say that, because racism was invented to keep a certain people down and inhuman so they can get them to do the work they needed without guilt to build this country, 250 years of free labor. The only way you can make somebody work in the brutality and all that stuff is through saying that they're less than me. If you look at a person just like me, you can't do that kind of damage to them. So racism is prevalent in the country. So, and no one wants to have that conversation, but the conversation is initiated by recognizing it's there, acknowledging it's there, and then let's go to work on it. There's a line in the play where Zebedee says, when racism rears its ugly head, you got to grab hold of it and choke the life out of it. So racism has reared its ugly head in a big way, particularly in this political climate. So now it's time for us as human beings, as Americans, to grab hold of it and choke the life out of it. This play makes us realize how ugly we are, but yet how beautiful we are, how this mosaic is a beautiful thing. And so I have all these characters that bounce off each other. You know what I'm saying? They bounce off each other and then they melt into each other. And I think that's the dichotomy of the play. And also, it's a very funny play. I mean, I was watching a cut today because we're still working on it and cutting it. And I sit there and laugh, and I have my headphones on, and my wife is doing her stuff. She said, he's listening to that play, because it'll be like one line. And I'll laugh every time at the same line, you know, because these things are really genuinely a part of African-American culture and American culture, the way Black people behave. And I think, like, even in private, compared to how they behave in public, in public, we have to present ourselves in a way that's acceptable to white America. Because if not, we're too passionate, we're intimidating, we're too angry, you know, we're too loud, we're too funny, we're too, you know. So we have to break that down and so be acceptable so everybody in the room, white people in the room, are comfortable. In this play, Zeke decide, okay, I'm tired of breaking it down and making you comfortable. Let me speak my truth. And that's funny to me because he'll say things that, you know, you only say, as my mom used to say, you know, don't say, you can't say that in mixed company. That means people that aren't like you because they won't get it. You know, so like he's like, if somebody, like I'll make a joke, like for instance, Ruben might say something. Somebody might say, well, how did you get him to do that, Ruben? And I say, cornbread. Now, to the average white person, it might not mean anything, but to a black person, cornbread is everything. You know, when your mama say, y'all going in there, I got a fresh pan of cornbread. That's everything in a black family. That's like, whoa. But if I say that amongst white people and I'm the only black person there, I'm the only one left. I say, Rube, how did you get, you know, how did you get Brandon or how did you get Jimmy Smits to do this movie? And I'm like, cornbread.
I'll let you follow up on that, Brandon. Talk about the humor parts and how you make those come to life in this show.
Listen, I mean, you know, there is a delicate balance to life. And if, you know, it's two sides to every coin. So the pain and the tragedy that, yes, we have to, that we have endured and that we have to face, you know, naturally it's got to be balanced out with something to where we can get a reason to face up, you know, the day every day. You know what I'm saying? So without this humor, we would be long lost and long gone, and no human body can I guess, hold all the tragedy that we all, and all the trauma that we've all had to experience without some type of serum, without some type of balm. And that humor that we find in these situations is the salve, it's the balm to get up every morning and put on our, you know, our level best selves, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I think that the humor that Ruben has in this play and explores is so important and so powerful, because a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. You know what I'm saying?
Ruben, you and Brandon both use this word a lot in your work, and that's the word love. And I know love is very important in this particular play. Who taught you love, Ruben?
You know, it's interesting because I don't know if I was taught love. I was like showered with love. I was like drenched with love. It's like I was treated like a little something that was special from the minute that it seemed the world felt that I had been discarded, being born in a rooming house and on the floor. Basically, my mother laid down the floor and birthed me. And to many people who didn't understand the love I was receiving at home, it seemed that I was discarded as an adopted child. But actually, I was embraced because Nanny, it's her birthday today, by the way, the lady who adopted me. And because she thought this was something special, I need to make sure that this little fella, and she called me little fella, would have a chance to be all he could be in life because he's special. And so she would say that you're special. She just kept giving me love. And no matter when I wanted to be a tough guy and bad and militant and everything, you know, that love was still in me. And people say, you're just a big old teddy bear, you know. And some people still think I'm mean, you know. They say, well, Ruben's mean. We're scared of Ruben. You know, it's like, I think that's the armor you put on to make it through the world as a black man, you know. And then but when people get to know me, they know I'm a big old softy, you know. I break down crying in a minute. So I think I was gifted. They were so gracious. When I say they, it's my entire community, my aunts, my uncles, the people in the room and house. They just gave me so much love that it was overflowing. And no matter if I try to run from being that kind of individual, it's just an innate part of who I am.
Well, let's talk about the proceeds of the live reading going to support not only Two River Theater. In addition, proceeds will be matched by a generous donor to benefit 5 organizations with a pressing need due to the impact of systematic racism and COVID-19. And the beneficiary partner for this reading, selected by you, Ruben, is the Ruben Santiago Fine Arts Learning Center, a nonprofit affiliate of the Global Concepts Charter School in Lackawanna. You've already talked about your Lackawanna Blues, your hometown. Can you tell us a little bit about the beneficiary?
Well, the Ruben Santiago Hudson Fine Arts Learning Center, learning is a very important part of the title of that place, because I wanted kids to learn about who they were, also the transformational power of the arts. Because when people turn their backs on other cultures, particularly African-American culture, they do, like a magnet, are drawn to our art, to our dance, to our songs, to our dress, to our style, to our poetry. And so I wanted kids to know that, you know, no matter what the world or anyone said you might not measure up as, let them feel your heart and soul, and they realize how you do measure up. And your heart and soul can be revealed in the most undiluted way through your art. So I'm teaching kids, you know, the power of art.
That's beautiful. Brennan, let's talk a little bit about the cast members. As Ruben had mentioned, just one not part of the original cast who had passed away, but some of these amazing actors that Ruben has already said that he needed someone to match up against you. So let's start there.
Well, let me tell you, he found them. If that's what he needed, he got them. I had to come up a little taste. That's what I had to do with this company that he's put together, you know. What the one thing that I've admired about Ruben since I first worked with him is his ability to create the most generous room that I've ever been in. That's from day one, and that's what he demands. He demands that we bring our best selves, that we stay open, that we're kind to one another, that we love each other from day one. You know, and he understands it takes time and it takes getting to know each other, and but he demands it. He lets you know in no uncertain terms that that's what we're working towards. And so with Merritt Jansen, who's playing Judith, I had never worked with Merritt, but in her, I think Ruben had found, someone who is absolutely willing to go toe-to-toe and even step into, you know, a familiar group. I mean, he's got other players like myself and Rosalind Ruff, the great Rosalind Ruff, who had worked together with Ruben many times. And so it was a big challenge for Merritt and Andrew Hovison, who's also in the play, to come in and be with us when we already had, you know, some rhythm going. But they weren't scared, you know what I mean? And what I thought was particularly remarkable about those two individuals, they're the white cast members. And given the context of the play, you know, they pulled no punches. They never apologized for being white. They never apologized for being there for what they didn't know. They were always curious. They were always open. And that's an uncomfortable situation to be in. And I've been with other artists who would not have had as much courage as Merritt and Andrew had in dealing with the play, you know. And then finally, we lost the great Charles Weldon, who was, you know, who was a mighty, mighty, mighty man, and just brought so much light to Zebedee and so much joy and so much warmth to this play at a time where we needed it in the play. And we miss him dearly. But with Glenn Turman, who I was fortunate enough to work with some years before, he played my father in a production of Lonnie Elder's Ceremonies and Dark Old Men about 10 years ago. We had a rapport going on, and it was, you know, again, the relationship between Zebedee and Zeke is very, you know, father, you know, like a father-son relationship. And I don't think Ruben knew that we had played father and son before. And so maybe it was just divine ordination that when Glenn Turman agreed to come in and read it, all he had to do was put the needle in the groove and let the record spin. Glenn is just so easy, man. He's one of the finest actors that I've ever worked with and that I know. And I think he's a great addition and a tremendous blessing to those who are going to join us for this reading.
And you mentioned the word there, reading. So reading as performing instead of just acting it all out, it's then you really get to the writing, don't you, I guess? You get to the writing, Brandon, knowing what Ruben really is all about. When you can make just the reading so powerful that it will restart conversations about race and provide maybe some of that hope and that love that he wants.
Yeah, I mean, conversations. I mean, I recall, and this is recall when we first did this play, the audiences didn't want to leave. After the curtain dropped, we come out, get all dressed, people still in, you know, in the parking lot talking, in the theater talking, you know, and we ended up doing a talk back every night because that's what this play demanded. This play opened up the opportunity and said, come on in. If we're going to do this, let's do this. And people wanted to do this. People wanted to engage with what they had experienced, with what they had heard, with the stories, with the how much they didn't know, how much they wanted to know. There's a real curiosity. I think that's the most important thing that theater can do, is not just tell you what is and what ain't, but also to inspire curiosity. And I think that's what this play does brilliantly. It inspires a lot of curiosity and wanting to know more about what we don't know and other life experiences, that because we see how it will enrich our lives once we open up to learn about somebody else's.
And as we wrap this up, the online benefit tickets for the series of the five readings include access to those live post-reading and Q&As with the artists that are involved. So you get more of that feedback again. And Two River Theater will also be streaming the reading on YouTube The following Monday, July 27th at 10 a.m., and then Thursday, July 30th at 7 p.m. Ruben Santiago Hudson, have you tried it out where you just have your own dinner party now at your place and invite people, white, black, Latinos, and have a conversation? Have you tried it out for real?
Yes, but everybody always thinks I'm too angry and passionate. Why are you upset about that? And they'd be like, what are you mad about? I said, no, I would say that to my brothers. It's like my brother had just called me and we were arguing about something and he could whoop me and everything. And I say, you know, we'll say that to each other just in jest, and people think we're really going to fight. And I tell him, I say, your hip pockets are too close together to mess with me. Now, you know, that means he's too thin. You know, if I was talking to another person from another culture, I might say, listen, you know, you're too small to bother me. I'm a bigger man than you. In the black neighborhood, you say you're too light. You know, so it's like, and if I say that after a couple cocktails, you know, people are like, what is he talking about now? So no, I really haven't. Normally, I'm usually one of the few black people in any room that I go in. Brandon probably can say the same thing. So we're always mindful to not necessarily initiate the real harder conversations, but to add on to them and to try to find a way to be most effective in our adding on to them. And sometimes my passion is not the most effective to people that don't know me. So I have to subdue as I am now in responding.
So you can go back in time, all right, and you have a dinner table. You can only fit five people in yourself. You can invite anybody of any race, any culture. Who are the five people that are going to sit down and have a talk about race with Ruben Santiago Hudson?
Wow. If you said a couple, I mean, that's a lot. Five. You know, you got to have Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King there. I would love him to be there. I would love James Baldwin. I love Malcolm X to be there. It's like, okay, now I got to bring some people from other cultures. those three, and with Malcolm and Martin, James Baldwin, we'd probably all be saying the same thing. So I got to get an opposite. And it's funny. I probably would want, in an odd way, I probably would want Muhammad Ali there. Mm-hmm. Because I loved his philosophy. And then maybe somebody like Shirley Chisholm or Ida B. Wells, somebody like that. Mm.
Brandon, you want to invite anybody else to that party?
Well, I hope some of those people got room for two dinner parties, because I need Jimmy Baldwin and Dr. King there as well. But I'd probably take Toni Morrison in addition to what I invite her. maybe Dr. Maya Angelou. And then who else I would love there? I would love Donald Trump there. I would love to see him get schooled by these four fools, you know, these four geniuses.
I'm glad you didn't invite me.
You know, I think, you know, because here's the thing is that I think more of what we're profoundly missing sometimes are people who are actually in positions of power to get it and to understand how vital and how beneficial it would be to all of us to get it. You understand what I'm saying? And I know this man may not ever be in a mental capacity where he can actually get it. But if anybody could make him get it, it would be those four people. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think. I think it's outside of a lobotomy.
You don't think it's
happening? You might be right. Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. But
you got to put the chicken in one chair. This is not probably going to rain, but chicken in one chair, that guy, orange man in another chair, and just pull a switch.
Final question for you, Ruben. As a white audience member leaves Two River Theater after seeing Your Blues Ain't Sweet Like Mine, what do you want them to be talking about?
I really want them to be talking, saying things like, I'm glad I've heard this because now I know things I didn't know. I didn't know what people of color actually going through contributed and how they felt. I had a play of mine on the national tour. As a matter of fact, Brandon did it on Broadway, Jitney. And I was in the lobby and this elderly white couple was sitting there having a seltzer water or something. And I went to sit next to them. They were animated conversation. And the wife said, well, what do you think? It was an intermission. And he said, I didn't know they cared that much. Mm. Mm. This is the honest to God truth. He didn't know that we cared about our communities, about each other, about, and he said, "I'm fascinated by it. This is amazing." I really didn't know they cared that much. And so with this play, I want people to leave knowing how much we care, how much we've contributed, and how beautiful and magnificent we are.
It's been an honor, as always, to have a chat with Brandon J. Durden and Ruben Santiago Hudson. Ruben's Your Blues Ain't Sweet Like Mine, the reading, a series of benefit play readings kicking off at Two River Theater Sunday, July 26th at 7 p.m., and then it will be on YouTube the following day and then the following Sunday. So it's been an honor, as always, to sit down with both of you. I love your work. I love you as people, and it's a great honor to be with you. Thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal.
Such an honor to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you.